From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch thanking you for joining us for today's program. During the next half hour, Dr. Cairns will address an important issue facing God's people in these days. In addition, there will be some Christ-honoring musical selections. Most important, however, will be the preaching and teaching of God's holy word. For some time, Dr. Cairns has been bringing messages dealing with the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, he calls attention to the fifth chapter of John's Gospel and the healing of the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda, pointing out that we must come to God on God's terms, whether it be for salvation, for prayer, or anything in our lives. First, however, Dr. Cairns deals with today's hot topic, called The Church of England Recruits the Simpsons.
The Church of England's having a hard time getting children and young people to attend its services. Given the deadness and inanity of your run-of-the-mill Church of England service, that's hardly surprising. Nor is it surprising how the Church of England proposes to go about solving the problem. Not for them anything as simple as a return to the presentation of the gospel with biblical passion and power. No, that's something that has almost died out in the Church of England. Their answer to reaching the youth of the country is the Simpsons, that dysfunctional family of the popular TV animated comedy. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. Rowan Williams, is a self-confessed lover of the Simpsons. He said, "For all that Homer is a slob and Bart is a brat and Lisa is a pain in the neck, you know there's real affection and loyalty." And that makes the Simpsons the ideal tool for reaching and teaching England's youth. Owen Smith, who wrote a book mixing it up with the Simpsons that was published by the Church of England and sent to every youth leader in the church, said, "The Simpsons is hugely moral, with many episodes dealing with issues and dilemmas faced by young people. The willingness of the show's writers to deal with questions of both morality and spirituality makes the program an ideal tool." So he's calling on youth leaders to show episodes of the comedy so that young people may learn morality and spirituality from characters who, according to their archiepiscopal admirer in Canterbury, are a slob, a brat, and a pain in the neck. That sounds real smart. I'm not a prophet, but I'll predict that the Church of England's pathetic attempt to hop on the bandwagon of pop culture in an effort to gain acceptance with more young people will be a miserable failure, just as everything else that church has tried as a substitute for the gospel has been a failure. The trouble with the entire program is that it replaces the message of the church, which should be the gospel of the blessed God, with a humanistic system of acceptable social behavior. It replaces the issue that is of paramount importance, namely our relationship with God, with merely human relationships. The gospel addresses all these relationships, but the Bible never countenances putting good family values in the place of having our sin dealt with by the blood of Christ's atonement. There are some outstandingly successful children's and young people's programs in use today. They are all solidly Bible-based, and they will use characters like the Simpsons only to show what the grace of God delivers you from. It's time not only for the Church of England, but for all of us to recollect and to act on Paul's testimony in Romans 1 verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. If we get serious before God and receive the power of the Holy Spirit to present the gospel to the world, we will be able to reach and teach both young and old for Christ. It's the Savior they need, not the Simpsons.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you have tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the program format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then we give you our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we'd be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's relatively easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Please don't forget the word radio. That's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
In this passage, you will see in the action of Christ, you will see the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus, where He simply spoke. He didn't lay any conditions on the man. There's no profession of faith even on the part of this man. Not to say he never came to faith, but the emphasis is on the utter sovereignty of Christ. And there is that aspect of salvation where he stands at a dead man's soul and he says, "Live." But in the question there is this suggested as well, that if you're going to be saved, you don't make deals with God. There is no dealing. There's one way. And when Jesus started his ministry with the great text, "Repent and believe the gospel," then that's the way. And that's the only way in which he's willing to save sinners. So the question reverberates to this day. Are you willing? Are you willing? There's another idea here. I believe, not because I can explain it, but because the Bible teaches it, in the absolute sovereignty of God. Do I believe in eternal predestination unto eternal life? Yes, I do. Why? Because the Bible teaches it. Do I believe in sovereign, unconditional election? Yes, I do. Because I can explain it? No, because the Bible teaches it. And whatever God says is so, just because God says it. And if you have any argument with that, don't fight with me, just go and fight with God. I'll tell you, there's only one winner in that fight. I believe all that. But let me tell you, if you're not saved, it's because you're not willing to be saved. Some people have this notion, you know, that wouldn't it be terrible if there's this poor sinner and he wants to be saved and he's willing to be saved and there's this big bad decree of election and predestination and God won't let him in? Absolute rubbish. Whosoever will. Whoever is willing. What does the Bible say? Let him come. It doesn't say stop him from coming. It says, let him come. And when you come, you'll make a big discovery. You'll get down on your knees and say, thank God for giving me the will to come. And the desire to come. But if you don't come, it's because you're not willing. And if you're not willing, don't blame anybody, God, man, angel, I, or even devils. Don't blame anybody but yourself for keeping you away from Christ. Are you willing? Because if you're willing, you can be made whole. And will be made whole. It's always this matter of taking Christ on his own terms. Same is true, of course, in every subsequent passage of life. We come to pray. Do you really want what you're praying for? Do you really want what you're looking for? Or is it all words? Do you really want to deal with God on the terms that he sets down? I have to say that there's many a time our prayers sound a whole lot holier than they really are. Do you really want to know the fullness of the blessing of God in your life? Do you really want to know that wholeness of Christian life? Are you really willing to have this fullness of grace and of glory in your life? Are you really willing? to deal with God on God's terms. Let's search our hearts there. Because it's one thing to say, Lord, give me the fullness of the Holy Ghost, for example. But you're not going to find the fullness of the Holy Ghost in the pursuit of self, in compromise with wickedness, in the lust of the flesh. You may say, Lord, I want to be used of God. But you're not going to be used of God while you're yielding your body as an instrument of wickedness and sin. Self-serving. God's terms are clear. Consecration of life. Separation in holiness. These are the terms on which he deals with his people to bless them and to use them. We're all here this morning with something that needs the touch of Christ. Some need to be saved. Some need to be restored to a first love. Some need to be forgiven some great failure. Some need that blessing and power of God to labor to win through for Christ. We all need that. But there is in every one of us this morning some particular need for the touch of Christ. And let me ask you, in the words of the Savior, are you willing to be made whole? I'm not going to do a half-hearted work, says Christ. I'm not going to do just enough to please your flesh. This man wanted physical healing. That was not being made whole as far as he was concerned. There was that physical healing, but then there was the admonition, don't get back into the sin that caused this. There was the dealing with sin. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want Christ? Then it's everything that Christ has. He isn't here to do a half-hearted, halfway work. It's all or nothing. Now, will you be made whole? That's it. Let's bring these lives to the Savior this morning. Say, Lord, I desire wholeness in every part. A whole-hearted, thorough-going work of God. That's my desire. Touch me and deal with me to make me holy, completely thine and useful to my Savior. You'll find that the Christ who touched this man, or who spoke to him and commanded his healing, can do the same for you and for me today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. As our heads are bowed, and just as we come to the end of this service, may I invite you to take a moment to lift your heart to the Lord. Let his question search your own heart. What do I want from God today? The Lord's not in the business of putting on patches. The Lord's in the business of making people whole. If you need to be saved, it's to be wholly saved. Wholly brought out on the side of Christ. He's willing to do that. Wilt thou be made whole? Oh, for souls to cry, I will. Lord, make me fully whole. If we can help you to Christ, we're here to help you in Jesus' name. Come and let's open the Word. May He find that response in every heart. Father, bless Thy Word. And our God, we pray that Thou wilt touch us all. Lord, we each one bring to Thee hearts and lives that need the grace of Christ. There are souls that need to be saved. There are backsliders who need to be restored. Lord, there's a quickening, a reviving. There's a making whole. Whole in our emotions, whole in our dedication to Christ, whole in our service. Wholly useful to the Lord, dedicated unto Thee. God, grant that Thou wilt make us whole today. We confess, Lord, that Thou art able. And we would pray that Thou wilt find in us a people in whom to exercise the fullness of Thy gracious power. Now, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt be with us as we separate one from another. We pray that Thou wilt keep us all safe on the roads. We pray that Thou wilt give us journeying mercies. Be with us in our homes, and grant that there we may feel and know the gracious presence of the Lord. And, O Lord, we pray that Thou wilt oversee the entire church family and all our loved ones, and indeed oversee Thy work to the ends of the earth today. God, grant that Thou wilt make this a good and great Sabbath in the cause of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer and grant that Thy grace, Thy mercy, and Thy peace may be our abiding portion both today and evermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.